Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
It's a change in shift gears to take a look at a topic that sits very close to home for many South Africans. In a world where just recently we were talking about the new minimum payments for lowest paid employees in corporates of South Africa, Old Mutual and Sanlam in the last year increasing that to 15,000 Rand. Earlier this week, Investec mentioning that they now pay their lowest salaried employee 21,000 Rand. As we know, you grow up the ranks, you hope to earn more, you have ambitions of earning more. But another aspect that typically speaks to inequality in the workplace is when it comes to pay and pay discrepancies that happen amongst not only genders, but I guess individuals who do the same job at the same level might have the same racial and sexual profile, but of course get paid differently. And we're going to interrogate that. So to help unpack this further, we join on the line by Malisela Letwaba, who's an associate at Employment Law Practice at CDH, Klifdekker Hofmeyr. Such a pleasure to have you with us, Malisela, and welcome to the show. Malisela, you're live on Kaya Biz. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. I'm hoping I did pronounce your name correctly, right?
That is correct.
Oh, fantastic. There we go. Thank you again for joining us this evening, Mr. Mletwaba. And I'm keen for us to get into this conversation around unequal pay for equal work. And this has typically come up in many an organization for many of our listeners as well in their personal capacities. And maybe we just need to understand the lay of the landscape and the rules as to what they say around remuneration for activities and how that should, I guess, be measured as an industry or company standard.
Thank you. So in essence, when we look at equal pay for equal work, the disputes that emanate therefrom would come from individuals who state that I am employed in a particular position and so are you, but there seems to exist a difference in pay. And generally the dispute that comes out of that is a discrimination dispute and premised on the provisions of the Employment Equity Act. Now, when one looks at the purpose or from a reading of the preamble of the Employment Equity Act, its purpose is there to provide for employment equity and in essence to promote equal opportunity in the workplace and ensure that there's representation in all occupational levels of the workforce. Is equal pay for equal work or difference in pay warranted? Yes, there are instances where it's warranted, and those instances could include factors such as seniority, length of service, qualification, skills retention, and the like. What one must always be clear on is that it is not discrimination at all times to pay people who perform the same job different salaries, provided that there's a justification. And the importance of that is where Section 6(1) of the Employment Equity Act comes in, and it clearly states that no person may unfairly discriminate directly or indirectly on the provisions set out therein, and it lists specific grounds. So in short, whether discrimination or whether differentiation is premised on one of the grounds listed in Section 6(1) of the EEA, it will deemed to be discrimination at that point, and where it is not premised on any one of the listed grounds, then we then have to tie to what we term an arbitrary ground. Mm. And that would be for that party alleging to tie it to that ground.
Got you. Oh my goodness. You've caught our attention now, Malisela, because essentially, as you say, it would not be discriminatory if two people doing the same jobs, Gugu and Dudu doing Kaya Biz, but one of us would actually be able to receive a higher income. That would not be discriminatory, but there needs to be a justification for it to avoid then the discriminatory grounds. And maybe talk us through that level of justification. You listed a few a moment ago, such as seniority and expertise. I'm hoping that you can offer us a few more guidelines and some detail, and perhaps how at times employers might be able to create a bespoke review against these particular measures.
Certainly. So in instances where the two people performing the same job, carrying out the same functions, but they are remunerated differently, we need to look at what appears from the facts, and we look at them together and compare them side by side. And if we see therefrom that there is a particular reason for differentiating between them, the employer needs to illustrate and justify those reasons. Mm-hmm. Now, provided that it's not, the differentiation is not set out on a ground listed in Section 6.1 of the EEA, we then need to illustrate that the differentiation is fair and that it is also applied proportionally. Factors include, you know, organizational structures. In certain industries, we have high-skilled employees that demand a higher pay given the particular skill set they possess. In other instances, you have long-tenured employee, and given their long tenure and years of experience, that also justifies a greater amount of remuneration, and that also then creates the pay differential. Now, an employee seeking to embark on a dispute and state that I'm not paid the same as my colleague, A, and then afterwards allege that that is discrimination, first has to do two things. Okay. They have to allege it, and they have to either tie it to a ground listed in 6.1, alternatively, an arbitrary ground. And and when we speak of an arbitrary ground, we speak of a ground that is not a listed ground in 6.1, but can be married to the reason for the differentiation. And therefore, we take it a step further to say, is that differentiation unfair? And that is a subjective test that is considered on a case-by-case basis.
Does it make a difference if the grounds are disclosed in terms of the differentiation in pay?
Certainly. When the grounds are disclosed, the first thing we look at is what is that ground? And provided it is not in 6.1, we already move away from the discrimination element of it. And we're now at a stage where we are differentiating. And then we need to decide and we need to assess, what are the reasons for differentiating, and are they fair, and are they being applied in a proportionate manner?
Ah, perfect. And that's, I guess, where the interesting debates tend to happen, where councils like yourself get involved, right, to evaluate. Because I'm assuming that this would differ from sector to sector.
Certainly would differ from sector to sector. And I mean, given the particular skill sets that different sectors require, years of experience, even competency and output, that alone would also justify a difference in pay.
Mm. And I'm also assuming that this would also be, as you've mentioned, the alleged justification, or in terms of the concerns that might be raised, one would have to build up a solid case to actually highlight the level of competency, experience, as well as the fair justification of the difference in pay for the disgruntled party, right?
Certainly. So when we look at it from an employment law perspective, in instances where the differentiation is not premised on any ground set out in Section 6.1, the onus would then need to shift to the employee to illustrate that this is the ground I'm relying upon and stating that I'm being treated differently. It is amounting to discrimination and it is unfair. That's when the onus shift. In certain circumstances, the employer party may also state that no, it is correct that I'm differentiating, but I am also discriminating. However, the reason for the discrimination is fair. And the reasons for the discrimination being fair are then enunciated. And then the court is called upon to make a determination on whether or not it is fair discrimination. And examples of fair discrimination have been actually pronounced on by the court insofar as a difference in pay is concerned.
Mm. You are mentioning such important factors here, and I guess I'm going to oversimplify this, Malisela, just for our listeners to understand it better. That's like myself and Glenn Lewis doing the business show. And Glenn Lewis, given his 20 years of experience in the industry over my 10, would then perhaps the company can justifiably say, yes, there is a discrimination here, given his level of expertise, his skin in the game, and experience that has taken place so far. So my understanding is correct. I just want to check if we're on the same track there.
Certainly, and other factors may also be included, such as the quality of work, the listenership, the viewership, that is tied into the particular individual and why then justifies the difference in pay.
I'm glad you say you're mentioning this, because it really does educate a lot of us as South Africans who perhaps might be disgruntled around some of these themes were in the workplace. And I know that, as you say, there's, you know, participants in the corporate space, retail, there's a wide plethora of industries that labor participates in, and one would have to take on a bespoke approach to evaluate this. But I'm keen to understand, for those who are looking perhaps to justify a particular increase and perhaps dispute any discriminatory factors, what do they do and how do they manage that?
All right. So from a practical perspective, we need to look at it. What is the reason or differentiating between the two, between two employees or two, between two people doing the same job but being paid different amounts. And we then need to, that's the starting point. Now, once we have agreed that there's a differentiation, we then need to see that does it amount to a discrimination? And if it amounts to discrimination, does it amount to unfair discrimination? Now, practically speaking, we look at the factors that justify the differentiation. One employee, as stated, you know, may have certain factors which favor them insofar as a higher remuneration is concerned. And in order to get a better understanding, and a simple approach would be to ask or state the reasons why. Now, naturally, the issues of salary and remuneration are generally confidential matters. It would also need to be taken into account when attacking such matters and approaching employers regarding the differentiation. So it's a very technical matter to canvas in the workplace practically. However, it always ought to be approached in good faith and also with the aim of obtaining a better understanding as to why there exists this differential. Because in instances where there is elements of discrimination that can be proved, an employee is obviously entitled to exercise their rights in order to seek their recourse. However, the employer must also be afforded the opportunity to state reasons why there's a differentiation or why there is not a differentiation.
Sure. Such a pleasure speaking to you, Malisela. You've really contextualized this conversation in a wonderful manner for many of us. And I guess a lot of counterparts and our listeners will be sitting back to say, hold on, let's see if there's a justification to the discrimination that's taking place and providing ongoing engagement. I'm assuming if there is a concern around a justification from the employer's side that is disputed by an employee, I beg your pardon, some level of evidence or proof or substantiated data would also need to be brought to the fore to dispute this.
Certainly. So where there is a differentiation and we look at the two remuneration amounts, one needs to ascertain what is the reason for that differentiation. Once we've established what the reason for the differentiation is, we then need to establish, does it amount to discrimination? And if it's based on one of the factors in Section 6.1, and just to give you examples, this would include race, gender, sex, pregnancy, marital status, and the like, it's automatically deemed to be unfair discrimination. However, when it's not linked to one of those factors, as set out in Section 6.1, the employee then needs to marry it to what we term an arbitrary ground, and they must link the differentiation to the arbitrary ground to render it unfair.
100%. Thank you so much for being patient with us to explain it several times in a very clear way that it does, you know, latch on for all of us to be clear on these dynamics. It's going to be an intriguing time for many in the workplace, and I guess does also open up the paths of communication and clarity and disclosure where necessary in these spaces. Thank you so much, Mr. Letwaba.
Thank you for having me, Gugulethu.
Thank you. That's Malisela Letwaba, who is Associate at Employment Law Practice at CDH, joining us this evening to clarify, unequal pay for equal work.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.